This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979 at this local radio station in downtown Alito on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. Woo, woo! I've been out and about already this morning. I'm Jim Taylor, by the way, Ty Taylor alongside. Went into a local business here, and I saw Jay Bazzari. He's heading out to officiate a Rockridge. Let me tell you all the things I know about Jay Bazzari. Rockridge grad, really good basketball player back in the day. Taught and coached at Westmer, and that's when I first started working here. He was the head basketball coach at Westmer. Those were some good days. And then where did he go after that? Orion High School and then Alwood. And that's what I know about Jay Bazzari. Now an official, and he's working with Tony Hochlag, and I think he's going to be at two venues today, Alwood and did he say Geneseo, I think? But a tip of the cap to the hardworking officials out there, and we always need more of those. And by the way, I love the broadcast last night with Mercer County and United, with all the sisters and the relatives playing with one another. And when I think about Jay Bazzari, I remember the Gale triplets of Galva and the Leather twins of Westmer. But you had more than that going on last night, I guess, right? Do you want to, for those people that weren't listening, what was involved with these families last night?
So it was Mercer County United and girls basketball that we did last night. And so United, their starting lineup has two pairs of twins, and then the fifth starter is a cousin to one of the twins. So it was three last name Anderson, two last name Flynn, and they had a fourth Anderson on their roster. And then for Mercer County, they had two Collisons, which are sisters, and three Hoffmans, two of them sisters, one of them a cousin to the two sisters. So there was a two separate parts of the game where there were three Andersons and two Flynns on the floor for United, and three Hoffmans and two Collisons on the floor for Mercer. It was one of the, it was absolutely crazy. It was for me, it was a nightmare because and the thing too that's hard, it's like in girls basketball, a lot of times, like when they're moving the way away from you, their hair covers the jersey number. So, and when it's, you know, four basically identical twins, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't tell which kid is which that has the ball here. So yeah, it was interesting. I don't think that'll be something I'll ever experience probably ever again. I mean, when you have 10 players on the floor and it's just four last names, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into some boys basketball conversation today. I know Jordan Harris is on the program, the head coach at Rockridge, Alex Johnson, Sherrard head coach, and Tim Seedam, the head coach of the Mercer County Golden Eagles. I think it's cool what Sherrard does. They have this, like, what do they call it they did last night where they have
Tiger Showcase.
Love it.
Second annual.
You know, more schools need to do that. I just think that's a way you generate excitement.
The thing I like about it is that it's not just like the high school
program.
Yeah,
the whole program.
It's the whole from third grade, I think, is where it starts to they get a scrimmage in front of everybody and then all the way up to a varsity scrimmage. And I think what they've been able to do with that and some of the stuff they do in the summer, you know, they go to the parks, which I think is an awesome thing they do, and they have the great camp too. is they've really got kids to buy into enjoying and liking and playing basketball there, where you'll hear our interview with Coach Johnson. I believe he said from third to sixth grade in the Sherrard School District, they have 80 boys playing basketball. 80.
Grow the game.
From third.
There's a reason for that.
From third to sixth grade. So
with those examples you just gave, that's why. And it takes stuff like that to get kids to play. And I'm talking about all sports, right? Yeah. You know, and I think we, you know, more girls need to play basketball. How you do that, I don't know, and we're not going to discuss that, get into that today. But I was also thinking when you were talking about the Tiger Showcase, I love you said you had this is an off-the-air conversation with Jansen Bender about the game he played in 2001.
Yeah, last night.
He can recite the game, the broadcast. That's clout for me. But that's what local radio is about. And that it's not just that example, but there are so many people where the soundtrack of their youth has something to do with the John Hoschite call from back in the day.
I've got one more thing to say about Jansen Bender. So this is like if you know Jansen, this is like the most Jansen thing ever. So he invited me to they call it the Sherrard Dads Club. They had like a thing.
How did I not get invited?
I know. Well, they had a thing after their showcase last night. So I drove from Oneida to Sherrard, then back to Alito after that. And he was explaining to me the Dads Club. And it's, if you can believe this, and again, if you know Jansen, you will believe it. It's like an official social club with like a legitimate like tax ID number. And, there's like a due process where, you know, they got like a couple of donations from, some dads that have paid for like, you know, youth basketball uniforms and stuff. So it's like a legit, like, not-for-profit social club that they have over there, which I think is both hilarious but also really cool. So it's pretty funny.
All right. So like I said, we'll get into the basketball conversation with our three local coaches. Our programming begins next week over at the Orion 10-32 tip-off classic. Just a couple of football items. The games today, just small school football. 1A, the semifinals, Lena Winslow at Leroy, two unbeatens. I think, man, a matchup that should be, hopefully lives up to its billing because Leroy has just clobbered people this year. But 1A football normally runs through the NUIC. Mm-hmm. Coach Brad Dixon has his Camp Point Central team at Altoff Catholic in Belleville, a rematch of last year's semifinal that was played in Camp Point, won by the Panthers, who went on to win the state title last year. 2A football today, the Farmington Farmers trying to get, you know, the 2A bracket's pretty strange this year, where other than Maroa Forsyth, you know, who has that pedigree of getting to the state title game at 11-1, they play at Johnston City, and then Farmington hosting Chicago Christian. So you have really three of the four schools in 2A kind of newcomers to the showcase game if they get there next week. Then 3A rooting for Coach Welter today, a rematch of a week 9 game, a rivalry, Monticello and Tolono Unity. They play at 2:00 today down in Piatt County at Monticello High School. And then of course, I think Wilmington can hang around with Montini. I think probably Montini Catholic, the favorite, their slight edge. That's a 1:00 kickoff today in Lombard, in back-to-back state titles in 8-man football for Amboy, right? They
Correct.
Won last night, 42-14 or something like that.
Over Millersville.
Amboy, their loss in the regular season to Ridgewood.
They split with them, yeah.
And then I didn't realize, I thought, you know, when you look at kind of that area of the state, it's weird how the setup is in the division with 8-man football. I thought Amboy and Milledgeville would have played during the regular season, but they did not, right?
Correct. So. Cade Sharp was there. He's a teacher at Amboy. And the right. JV boys basketball coach. He's also their varsity baseball coach. Cade, he called me last night when he was on his way to Monmouth. So he went to the game.
Was the margin a surprise from some of the people you talked to?
I think people thought it'd be closer, but Amboy and 8-man, they just kind of have set the standard, I think, the past couple years. So, yeah, pretty good run for them, and it always looks like, I think that's a great setting for like a state title game, is a small college facility like that, where I know the however many years it's been, they've always had really great crowds at that state championship game. So
I've been there. Well, I was there last year, and then I went maybe a couple of years prior. I think one of the years Polo was playing. It's a great vibe for that sport to be played there, because you know, the fans are basically right on the field. All right, the other story, I guess, in football before we transition into our high school basketball discussion today. Again, Coach Harris, Coach Johnson, Coach Seedam coming up. You know, we've been following this great reporting on, you know, the Mercer County football program and the position. The head coach, Tanner Matlick, has officially resigned this week. We reported that earlier. I forget what day it was. So,
Tuesday.
Yeah, and then also follow-up reporting. You can find all of it at WMJ.com. That the school district and the superintendent has indicated they want to hire the coach within the next month, which, you know, that's the fast track, as they say it. The only thing I'm going to say about this is, and this is just my opinion, don't listen to me, anybody. I just truly believe that the football coach, the head football coach, should be a teacher in the building. That's all I'm going to say about that. I mean, I hope that can be accomplished. Whether it can, I don't know. That is my opinion. And here's the other thing that I want to make sure that I'm clear, and I say to people, it's a great job. So I know there's always this chatter on social media. And the one thing about interscholastic athletics, right? I don't care who the head coach is. Before the head coach comes in, the sport is played. After the head coach leaves, the sport is played. The sport goes on. And it's a great job. And if you're thinking about applying and you're in the area, Jim Taylor will tell you, apply for the job, because it's a great job. And there's great kids within that program. So yeah. You think they can get it done in a month, get somebody hired?
No.
No?
Oh, no. I mean, well, last time, I mean, I don't know. I think it was maybe 4 people that applied. I mean, and you can say all that, but I just don't think they're going to get very many applicants, because I don't think there are that many teaching openings for them, one. And two, I mean, and I agree with you, there's great kids and everything, but, I mean, that was a circus this year. I mean, it really was. And it's, you know, it's... There's been a lot of historical success in the Mercer County program, but not recently. I mean, you know, in the last 10 years, I think now it's been 10 years they've won one playoff game in 10 seasons, right? And it's a much more challenging schedule. You knew before they made the move to the track, there was a path to the playoffs every year. They were never going to not win 5 games in the previous league. This now, as we've learned this year and moving forward, that's in jeopardy. Even if you are good in the track and football, there are years where you'll be good and you'll not make the playoffs. So I think, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I just think it's going to be challenging for them to get a lot of applicants.
In a month, I think.
That's something where they're going to need to go out themselves, because I truly don't think, just with what has transpired and kind of just the vibe that feels like it's around that program right now, if you don't go out and try to find somebody, I don't think very many people are going to come to you, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see that. But again, the timeline, if you're talking about a month, you're saying before Christmas.
Yeah, so to me, this is just me speculating, if you want to hire within a month, to me, that says that it's like probably you have an internal hire, which I don't believe they do. I'm not sure that anybody on their current staff would want to be like a head coach, which I could be wrong about that. We'll see. But I would expect, and I know that Tim Forker told us they hope to hire someone at the December meeting. I would think it'd be January or February. I just think to put yourself in a timeline where you need to do it in, you know, a month, less than a month, is just, to me, really, because they just opened the application on, like, Wednesday.
Well, yeah, it was like, I saw it on social media. I'm like, holy smokes, they are posting this thing.
So already. It'll be, we'll see, I guess. I mean, it's going to be, it'll be interesting to see.
So I'm curious, I preface my remarks, I didn't see the Golden Eagles play one time in 2024. I don't know if I saw them even play in 2023. But what do you think the answer is? You've been around the program. What do we need? What's the candidate?
I don't know. I mean, like you said, probably someone the head coach needs to be in the building as like a teacher or administrator or something. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that, of course, went wrong, and in some cases went like train wreck wrong this year and for whatever reason. So whoever comes in needs to... You know, there's going to be a lot of, like, I think, healing that needs to be done for whatever X amount of reasons that things went wrong. So, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you the specific, like, type of guy you need, just somebody who cares about the kids and, you know, treats people with respect and stuff like that. I mean, that's the number one thing.
Oh, I'll take that. All right, so is that all we need to talk about football, or you need anything else to talk
about
football?
I'm good to not talk about the Mercer County football coach for a while. Yeah.
Well, you're going to be talking about it maybe in next month.
Yeah.
he'll be on the airwaves next month. So we'll see if, you know, what the pool of candidates is. Again, I just tell people, I mean, I believe you come into this town, you coach here, I think a great opportunity for you, and you get to work hand in hand with this radio station and get your product out there. Right?
Yeah, lucky them.
All right, basketball, I'll say Rocket's still the favorite just because they've been the favorite every year and they continue to be the favorite until somebody knocks off the said favorite. But, you know, again, I think a lot of, I mean, to be quite honest, I've heard more about Sherrard basketball here recently than I have Rock Ridge basketball. Now, the one thing that I'm a little bit, I'm not angry, but disappointed, because I saw we were talking a lot in the offseason about the potential matchups for Sherrard and some of these shootouts they're going to, and some of the schedules have changed, and that makes me mad because I really want to see them, and they've tried to, and they've wanted to, you know, amp up their schedule, but how these shootouts are kind of a moving target sometimes with who you're playing. Like, I think the one shootout at Wharton they're playing at, they were supposed to play they're going to play Chicago Diet, which is
they're supposed to play Diet in Morgan Park.
Yeah, and they're not going to, and that's Io DeSumo's alma mater. They're not going to play Morgan Park. Instead, they're going to play Quad City Christian School, right?
Yes, which is too bad.
And then at the Great Western Shootout, which is at Abingdon Avon High School, I think their matchup was changed where
it's going to be Illini Bluffs. It's now A-Town,
yeah.
Which again is too bad.
Yeah. And I thought at one time, now are they going
to
play Manual?
And they were scheduled to be at the shootout that Manual hosts in Peoria, but that date got moved back a weekend and Sherrard was going to play Peoria Notre Dame and they can't play that now because the date it was moved to, Sherrard had like a home game scheduled. So they are going to miss out on that game too, which is too bad. Yeah, I know. So, but there was also a change where there were like a shootout hosted by Carl Sandburg that they were going to play United, but it got switched to now they get to play West Hancock, which is obviously, you know, they would have probably beat United by 30, and West Hancock will be a game that'll be tough to, you know,
West Hancock's
really good.
Yeah, they'll be one of the top four seeds at the Western Macomb Holiday Tournament, in December. Then, I know the Eagles lost a load from last year's, team, but I do, like the foundation of that program with, the core of the coaching staff with Coach Seedam and Coach Broad. And I've loved what they've established at the junior high level because I think Brent Stropes and, Connor Sharp are great coaches. So I think even though, you know, what their position is, they got a good core coaching staff and they'll have that team ready, but I know it's going to be a challenge with the schedule they play.
I agree.
They just need to get better as the season progresses.
And I think that Coach Seedam has done a great job too. But like you said, I mean, the conference schedule, I mean, from last year to this year, I mean, it is a
gigantic. It's going to be a great league because you have, Rockridge and Sherrard at the top, and don't discount Riverdale with what their coaching staff has been able to put together, because they were supposed to be, you know, we're talking about some down years they were expecting to have, but they really haven't had because of what they've established.
They've won two regionals in a row.
I know. And then you look at, you know, Coach Grant back in the picture at Monmouth Roseville. I think Erie Prophetstown has most.
They're not in the
league. Oh, they're on the other side? Yeah. I always get mixed up where they put them at.
Orion. Is your
And then Orion, you know, that's another wild card that has a majority of their talent.
And they've
back,
got and they some really good talent. Yeah.
So it's going to be a good league. In the schedule, you were talking about last week, you like the matchups being played on Friday.
I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, you talk about like people, just getting people inside gyms, you know, and that's the one thing, like with Mercer County, I think the number one thing that they're going to get out of this is like their conference games are going to feel like conference games and they're going to feel big and important, where I really don't think, I mean, by and large, like, and Princeville was a good team last year, but when you play Princeville, it's not really, it doesn't feel big because the school, it's like, you know, 90 minutes away or whatever, and there's no connection with that school. So, and when you play them, you know, there's like 10 people in the visiting stands. So, you know, I remember last year, and this is always the case when Mercer County's boys basketball schedule is, their biggest crowds are when they play in the non-conference, Rock Ridge and Sherrard, and Monmouth Roseville too. And they like quadruple the crowds of everybody else that they play in the conference when they were in the Lincoln Trail. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And like, it's just in covering them in the fall, like even going to some volleyball games with Tegan, and then, you know, the football schedule, of course, like, the crowds were just nothing in the regular season those programs have seen in conference in a long time. And it just, to me, means more for them when you play like Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Orion and Monmouth Roseville, because those are the kids you grow up playing against. And we talk about this a lot, where they've missed out on that. You don't get that in the Lincoln Trail schedule. And, you know, I think it helps the program grow because the track is, you know, a much better league than the Lincoln Trail in terms of like quality of teams and programs they're going to play, where I know that the past X amount of years, basically the whole second half of the schedule they play is the Lincoln Trail, where, you know, coming in that we have a ton of games that we're going to win at the end of the year. So,
yeah, and what did you say? We were talking in the office here earlier this week. What was the margin? You were talking about the standard.
I averaged it out. So they ended up playing 16 games against Lincoln Trail schools last year. So that's 11 regular season, 4 conference tournament, 1 Thanksgiving tournament game. In a 16 game sample size, their average margin of victory was 24.5.
No kidding.
So, and that's the thing where I think you lose a little bit of interest too, when it's like, we're just going to walk in and buzzsaw all these teams. And that's like the whole second half of the season, basically. They played Newman, a shootout game that was a really close and great game that they were able to win. But, and I know one of the Princeville games was close, but and it was one game that was within 10 points in the 16 games they played in the Lincoln Trail last year. So, and I just think, and this is a compliment to the program too, they're at a point where I just don't think you really got a lot out of playing, you know, half your schedule against those teams that, again, like Mercer County's double, triple the size of in terms of enrollment in the school. So I'm excited. It's a new era, and I think, you know, basically across the board, everybody's excited to see it. Like, I know Coach Johnson and Coach Harris, when we talk with them, are both, you know, happy that Mercer County's in the league, and Coach Sheedy, I'm excited for kind of the new challenge with the renewal of all the local stuff. And the thing I like about the track too is the conference schedule. You play everybody twice, so it's home and home, and you also, and which I think when you in a conference schedule playing everybody twice, it helps really determine like a true champion better when you get two chances at everybody. So it should be a really fun year, like you said, and I'm just really excited that Mirko gets to start off, you know, the this new era of basically playing Friday night games against all the local schools twice a year from, you know, basically early December to mid-February. Going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then we kind of just glossed over Rock Ridge and the established program and the consistent winter year in and year out. And, I mean, their core is back with Landon Bull and Josh Wheatley. Landon Bull and Landon Wheatley and Josh Wheatley. I broadcast his games many moons ago. Yeah. And Chase Wheatley's games, too. And then Caleb Kunico. Those three key players are back. What are the other pieces for Rock Ridge? Now, don't get me wrong, that's a strong three,
about
four
as bad
of people.
Of a,
yeah.
As good of a top three as you can
have. Yeah, so, I mean, again, it still is going to run through Rock Ridge, but they still are going to need some key pieces because they graduated a very good two very good players, but I thought Carson Clemmy, tremendous defender, and just what he brought to that program over the, you know, kid, basically a four-year starter, and then they lose the size of TJ Wilson last year, who had a great senior year. So they're going to need a couple of newcomers, and I know Baylen Lehmans is one of those kids in the mix, and Landon Wheatley's little brother, Chase, in the mix. What else do you see from the Rockets, I guess, moving forward?
Well, I think you said there, like, Baylen Lehmans is kind of the X factor. And last year, if it wasn't for him, Mercer County would have beat them in the regional championship. You know, he kind of saved the day for them that night. And he had a great postseason where I think he really kind of grew throughout the year last year. I know that, like, Coach Harris really trusts him. And when you have, you know, like Rockridge, you have those three kids you mentioned, but then, like, Baylen is another kid who's a senior that it just feels like, you know, he's a really good athlete And, you know, maybe he isn't, you know, this like all-state level basketball player, but he's a good athlete that can rebound and defend and is a really good role player for them, which is what he's going to need to do. I mean, I think for him, it's like if he could average 6-7 points a game, I mean, that would be huge for them all year long. But like you said, for them, the thing that is kind of the question mark is, which they haven't had a question mark at these spots in a long time, is like 4, 5, and 6, you know, with the run of great talent they've had every year, it feels like, you know, okay, the top like 6 or 7 for them are really, really good. Where this year, it's more of the 4, 5, and 6 spots are unproven. I'm not saying that they aren't good players, but they're just unproven at the varsity level. So that'll be kind of the big thing to follow for them in terms of what their, you know, overall postseason run is. And their schedule is absolutely brutal this year. I mean, brutal. They play a ton of really good teams early and kind of often throughout the year too. So, yeah, it'll be a fun year to follow them with kind of, it's, I know we've been looking forward to like when Bull and Wheatley and Kunico were their senior year, because they're all three such great players that have contributed forever, it feels like, over there. So, well, I think like you said, definitely, and they were a unanimous favorite in our preseason coaches poll, and I think for good reason. I mean, like you said, someone's got to beat them, you know, and they've kind of run the table the past couple years in the conference and have been able to keep, as teams have, you know, made runs and gotten better, like they get to the Rockridge game and every time Rockridge kind of pushes them back down, right? And they don't let anybody overtake them at the top. And so we'll see this year if someone will be able to, like you said though earlier with Sherrard, I mean, I think those games are going to be awesome. I mean, they're the first conference game, Friday, December 6th. Sherrard hosts Rockridge. That will be an awesome game.
Throw everybody right into the season.
And atmosphere. And I know, and like with Sherrard, we didn't really get into their individual players, but they're similar to Rockridge in the fact that they have three really good key pieces back in Rylan Carton and James Blackwell and Carter Brown. And for them too, I think like 4, 5, 6, 7 are kind of unproven at the varsity level too. So both teams throughout the year, I think, will have to try to find out where the production outside of their top three comes from. But I mean, as good as Bull, Kunico, and Wheatley are, like Brown, Blackwell, and Carton are really, really good, a really good top three in a two-way basketball team too. So those will be some really, really fun matchups, I think.
And, you know, you're talking about schedule and, you know, covering Rockridge since Coach Whiteman has been there. Their schedule, and that's transitioned to Coach Say and now Coach Harris. And I just think of all the places that I, and now you, that we've traveled with Rockridge, yeah, and some of the teams they play. And then I always like kind of the aura of their program, because then if they lose one of these games to like an elite opponent, I'm not saying they're mad about it, but they walk out of the gym and they think they should have won the game. Yeah. And I'm like, that's the type of program they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're never, it's like they're always striving for another step up. And yeah, with the schedule they've played and kind of the expectations of what that program is. And I always loved Coach Whiteman, how he would get in, like, especially he was, it took him like 30 minutes to cool off after a game. And he'd always, sometimes like, after a game would get over and if they would lose, he'd like, well, we, you know, sometimes he goes, you know, some of these kids think they just have, you know, Superman jerseys on that they put on and you magically think you're going to be a Rockridge Rocket or an Ethan Happ. It doesn't work that way. But, and that's after like they're playing a number 5 team in 4A or whatever, yeah, you know, well, but that, I mean, that's the type of demand and success and what that brings in. And it's like, even if you lose that game on the scoreboard, what did you gain by playing that? Well, they always gain a lot.
Right. And that's like last year, I remember Coach Harris, he was really frustrated when they played at Moline, who was the defending 4A state champions at Wharton Fieldhouse, and hung around with them and had a chance. I think they, in the fourth quarter, they had the ball down one possession. They fought back and I think they had kind of a bad possession where they took either a bad shot or turned it over. And he was really not upset, but frustrated after the game, because he's like, man, we could have beat them tonight. And that's the thing where you walk out of playing the defending 4A state champions as at a school like Rockridge's size, which is what, like 370 kids maybe. And you're right. That's kind of just the standard of what that program is. And they've had some really cool moments in some of those games over the years. Like I know a couple years ago when they went on the road and beat Rock Island, is just, I mean, crazy when you say that out loud, that Rockridge beat Rock Island in boys basketball on the road. And obviously the postseason runs they've been on have been really memorable too. So it's been quite a run for them. And I think this year too is just another, you know, team where I think they expect to make a deep run again with the top level talent they have. And, again, though, I just am, those Sherrard Rock Ridge games will be so compelling. They always are, but this year especially, it's felt like the past few years, like the gap has tightened and tightened between the two. And I think this year it's tightened even more where, the second game they played last year was a 1-point game. So I just can't wait for those games. Like that's going to be really high level, like high drama stuff too. And like when they get together and play, there's always great crowds and like you can almost feel like the energy and like the animosity, right? How bad those schools want to beat each other. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and I too think about the one thing I'm looking forward to in this basketball season is, you know, you talk about the strength of the league, but I think, you know, the significant wild card in our area this year, and I'm really anxious to see next week over at Orion, is Orion.
Yeah.
Because they have some talent coming back, and they have a lot of young talent coming up through the pipeline that it's going to be interesting to see their progression this year. Because I think that's one of the teams right now that's saying, hey, I think we can factor in the mix a little bit. And then I really think, you know, the other wild card is with Coach Rant back as head coach and what he's accomplished and how many years he's coached and what he's done. I just think that's another program that you better be ready for them. And that's what you're going to get in the league. And we can go down the, list of programs with Riverdale and what they've established. I'm just saying, you know, I think Rock Ridge favorite, Sherrard right there, but then you better not underestimate some of those other teams that are in the middle of the pack.
And like you mentioned, Orion, so their best player is Kyler Owens. He's a junior, and like he was the top scorer that's returning in the conference. So he averaged over 16 points a game as a sophomore last year, and a really dynamic scorer. He can score in a lot of different ways, and a lot of the times it feels like he just kind of does it on his own. Like he really is good at creating his own shot a lot of times it feels like they just kind of get it to him and just get out of his way and let him go to work and like isolation type stuff. So he's a really electric and exciting player to watch. And like you mentioned, the Monmouth Roseville with Coach Grant. Now they lost a lot too. They're similar to Mercer County where I think they actually started 5 seniors maybe last year. Monmouth Roseville did. So they lost a lot, but you know, the way like they'll defend with the way that Coach Grant coaches and everything where they're not going to be bad. And Monmouth Roseville's never bad in boys basketball. And Riverdale, like we touched on earlier, back-to-back regional championships, they're always in the mix in the conference. And they lost the Willems kid last year who averaged like 26 points a game and was an all-stater, but they had 2 freshmen in their starting lineup that were really skilled and talented, I thought. And I think Brody Clark is the kid that's back, that's a senior. He averaged like 12 points and 6 rebounds a game. He's been a 3-year starter for them. So there's just everybody has a lot of talent back, it feels like. And Coach Sheedham says this when we talked to him. It feels like it's kind of weird because simultaneously teams lost a lot in terms of quality seniors last year. We talked about that with Rock Ridge earlier with Wilson and Clemmy. And then like, you know, Sherrard graduated 8 seniors last year, 4 of them really key pieces, but they still have talent back. And Riverdale, same thing. And Orion lost a couple of kids that were solid pieces too. But they still bring a lot back. So I'm excited, you know, to kind of see how it goes. And I agree with what you said with Mercer County. Like even though, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a step back this year just because of all they lost. I mean, it was over 80% of their scoring and like 73% of their rebounding graduated. But like you said, I really think that they're well coached and I think that you'll see the growth of that group throughout the year because I do think there is talent. It just is really young and their biggest issue this year, I think, is just going to be their lack of size. Like they don't have very many kids that are taller than 6 feet tall. It might be like 2 is all. Where, and they're young. It's, you know, they look like a team that has, you know, 1 senior on its roster but I think they'll grow and for the, you know, future of the program, like those kids will, I'm sure this year they'll have some nights where they look a lot better than you think they're going to look. And then they'll probably have some nights where they look a lot worse than you think they're going to look. And that's just kind of how it goes when you have a team that is going to be that young, but there is skill there. I really like, Brady McPeak. He'll be a sophomore for them. He had kind of limited minutes. He played as a freshman last year at the varsity level, but he, great shooter. and is a kid that can score. And I think by the time he graduates, he'll have had a pretty good career at Mirko. But yeah, for them, it just is a whole new schedule with a whole new, you know, group of kids. So it's going to be, I think, a work in progress. And you'll hear Coach Chidem talk in his conversation too. It's like early in the season for them. It's not really about wins and losses. It's about, you know, how we look and where we can improve.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they're going to get with the schedule in terms of what their opportunity is from start to finish.
Yeah. And I think too, with them for a team like that, I think it's great the way the schedule works out, because you get to play, you know, a really good team in the first half of the season, then you get to play them again in the second half. So you can kind of see where you've got better at, how much you've grown, where, you know, you get to, like, for example, they get to play Rock Ridge before Christmas, and then they get to play them, I think, in February. So that'll be a great kind of measuring stick to say, okay, here's where we were when we played them the first time, and now here's where we are when we played them the second time. And I think, like we've touched on, Rock Ridge and Sherrard are both teams that at the 2A level, I think, are like elite teams in the state this year. So teams in the league will get to play them twice and see, okay, the first time, where are we stacking up against a team that, you know, is maybe a favorite to win a regional championship, and here we are the second time, how much closer we got to them.
Yeah, and here's what I like about Coach Chidem and Coach Brott, that they're basketball junkies. Like, yeah, you can sit down and talk, like, I can talk Winchester Invitational Tournament, yeah, with Morgan Brott. So I love that they're really invested in the game, and
They are.
Like I said, Coach Chidem has done a tremendous job with that program.
I agree 100%. They're in a really good spot, I think. Again, this year, just because of the youth, it's probably, like, because they've won 20 plus games back to back years. I don't think that is that likely to happen this year, but, just because maybe they won't have as much win-loss success this year, I still think that program is moving in a very good direction. And I think they've set themselves up for, like, to have sustained success. I'm not saying it's like, okay, they're going to go on all these state championship runs, but I think they're going to be a program that is, you know, top half of the league most years. And I'm excited to kind of see that continue to progress, because I know when, like, Coach Chidem took over the first year, they really struggled, and he's done a really good job since then, kind of turning things back around to getting to winning a lot of games and being in a lot of games, where I know a lot of the times, you know, the whole narrative with them was like, okay, but who are they playing in the regular season? Well, last year, you know, they should have beat Rock Ridge in the regional championship. They should have. I mean, they led the whole game until the final 30 seconds of regulation.
Yeah, so, I drove around in my car listening to the last, like, 3
John Hoshite, amazing work. But yeah, so they're going to fit right in this league, and I can't wait to see them compete with Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Warren and Monmouth, Roseville, and Riverdale. Coach Adolphson at Monmouth, Roseville, in our pre-game interview for week one in football, I said, just what do you make of Mercer County joining the league? And he's like, well, he's like, for the other sports outside of football, because the divisions are different for football, he's like, it's basically when Jeremy Adolphson, he's like, when I was in high school, it was the Olympic Conference was this, just Macomb instead of Riverdale, you know? Yeah. So, and I love Riverdale too. Like, it's going to be, that's such a great six team conference. It's almost the perfect six team conference. You know, it really is.
And then getting back to schedule, and we'll hear from our coaches, but I think one of the great storylines with the schedule this year, I love it that Rock Ridge is playing UT.
Yeah,
so
that
the Rockets
will be fun.
Get to see Coach Say, and then Coach Whiteman's is on Coach Say's staff at United Township High School. And I think that's really a cool story, because those, you know, Landon Bull and Kunico and Wheatley, you know, they all have the relationship and connection with Coach Say and Coach Whiteman. So I think that's a pretty cool story that those two programs get to play one another. And UT is really good too in the Western Big Six. So that'll be a nice game. Then I was going to ask you, so next week, I know we're at the 10-32 at Orton. How good is the private school up there? Because Allman's in the field, right? What are they supposed to be?
I have no idea.
Because I'm anxious to kind of see where they kind of fit at.
I think they said their freshman class they have coming in is decent. Now, you know, that is obviously when you're a freshman kids. I mean, we've seen, like, with the Mercer County girls program, who's had success at the junior high level, and they're struggling as freshmen. I mean, imagine being a freshman coming in and playing Quincy and Rock Island and Moline. And so, I mean, I don't know for them if they're going to have much more success. But I think from what I've heard from people around there is there's, like, finally, it feels like some positivity with the boys basketball program. So I'll be interested to see, because they open against Orion. And then, you know, I mean, I would think Alleman should be able to compete with like Ridgewood and A-Town, I would think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know if they play them or not. I forget the schedule off the top of my head.
Well, and then what is our schedule next week? You want to quickly...
I couldn't tell you it off the top
okay,
of my head.
Okay, but what...
I know Monday we have three games from Orion.
It's a triple header! Yeah.
So that's where we're starting.
So who is... Are the... Do you think the Chargers may be the favorite?
Well,
on?
There's not a... There's no tournament champion because they're just playing basically like everybody plays four games.
Okay.
But so I think... I would say coming in, yes, I think. I think the top three teams probably, though. I mean, it's a 17 field. I think the top three teams in some order are probably Orion, Monmouth, Roseville, and Mercer County, in my opinion.
And then Rock Ridge, they're at what tournament this
Rock
year?
Rock Island.
And they'll get to play the Rocks in that field, right? And did you say they get to play Chicago Diet, too,
yes,
or not? So they're going to get...
Managed. And then they play Bowen out of Chicago and St. Rita on Friday.
Okay. And I know St. Rita was, what, a couple of years removed from having a five-star player in their program or
yes,
a four-star?
And well, then, and they just destroyed Quincy in football. Destroyed them.
Yeah. And then Sherrard is at the Oregon tournament.
Correct.
In Northern Illinois.
They've got a chance. If they go 2-0 in their pool, they would play Rockford Christian in like what would essentially be the semifinal of that tournament, which basically like our buddy Nesto, Ridge Greenman, he gets skeptical of Nesto because he thinks he disrespects Sherrard in his rankings. But,
of course. well, we got to get Nesto and Ridge on the program,
both together.
Know.
But so I think like Sherrard and Rockford Christian are both teams that are like top 20 in Nesto's preseason 2A rankings. And I treat those like they're, you know, gospel. He knows what he's talking about.
So I was going to ask you, so when we were doing Rockridge EPC, which is Eastland Pearl City, a co-op for football. Eastland and Pearl City are separate schools. Does Eastland play in that Oregon tournament or no?
No.
Because Eastland, Brian Roosh at CCI Radio said Eastland is supposed to be a really elite 1A team.
Yeah, them
team
and Pecatonica both.
So I was hoping maybe a potential maybe to one of our schools
play. Well, Rockridge is playing at a shootout hosted by Eastland, but they're playing Seneca there. I forget who Eastland's matchup is.
Oh man, how good is Seneca supposed to be this year? They've had a basketball pedigree.
I think pretty good. I think their quarterback last year in football, he was a junior when Rockridge played him, so he was a 1,000 point scorer, so he's a senior, so they should be pretty good again, I would think. And if like they get matched up with Rockridge, I would assume they're probably pretty good at a shootout.
I wonder who Eastland's playing at that then.
I forget. I had the schedule, but I don't.
Well, that's great that. And then I know the Fulton shootout, the Fulton High School, Jeff Parsons was telling us Kendall Gill's kid's coming down to play that.
At St. Ignatius, right, is where he plays?
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, so we'll hear from our head coaches coming up. An exciting hoop season, of course, tipping off Monday. We'll have coverage now. Are we going to be with – we'll do a couple of Rockridge games next week too, or one?
Saturday I think we're going to do – because they're at Rock Island. They've got two games against Dyett, and that's tentative right now. Again, it's with the way the week goes, it's just – what a nightmare to try to schedule everything.
Well,
it's a real nightmare.
But
yeah,
we'll get all the key games on, and whoever's the last team standing in March, hopefully we'll have somebody down at the State Farm Center. We'll be broadcasting them. Are we going to do the show down there again this year, hopefully?
Yeah, I would love to do that. Well, hopefully we have a school down there covering. Yeah, hopefully the Tigers don't. Or the Rockets or the Eagles are down in Champaign.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll hear from Coach Harris. What's the order? We have Coach Harris,
Coach Johnson, Coach Sedam, Coach Harris. So Sherrard, Mercer County, Rockridge. That's the order of our coaches' conversations. Then after, we'll come back at the end and talk a little bit more and wrap it up. And then we'll get to Fighting Illini football.
In Piscataway.
Yes. And then, which we're going to go over the 10 o'clock time limit. So we will join their pregame show in progress. If you care enough to hear about the Illinois Rutgers pregame,
I do.
You can listen to it online.
We better not lose.
You can listen to it online. And then there's Illinois basketball today too. So we'll talk, we'll kind of preview, I guess, our sports broadcast schedule throughout the rest of the day at the end of the show. So again, it's Sherrard, Coach Alex Johnson, Mercer County Coach Tim Sedam, then Rockridge Coach Jordan Harris. Our boys basketball preview rolls on next on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
And welcome back to WRMJ, WRMJ.com, continuing our preseason coverage in 2024-25 for the boys basketball season, talking with Sherrard Tiger head coach Alex Johnson. So into year number three for you leading the Sherrard basketball program, just how do you feel where the program is at entering 2024-25?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to a local community member, one of our fans, and he told me to say when I did these interviews that we'd be lucky to win 10 games, and if we do, it's all coaching. But no, so I had to throw that out there first. But no, really, we're excited where the program's at. I mean, our numbers are solid, and what you're really starting to see is that some of the habits and that we have been preaching on and some of the processes that we've been talking about, the kids are really starting to buy into. And we have really strong senior leadership this year, and that I think that has trickled down, not only even into our high school program, but even down into our youth levels, where we have about 80 kids in the third through sixth grade wanting to play basketball. And so those are some things that we've really improved on. I mean, the winning's been nice the last couple of years, getting back on kind of the winning side of things. But, you know, what we're doing here in terms of developing young men, that's something that we're truly proud of.
Yeah, so turning the page to 2024-25, like you touched on, there's been more winning the past couple of years. You've played for regional championship games the past two seasons, 22 wins last year, and you talk about, I remember at the end of the season, you know, expectations continuing to grow for the program. So is that something you feel again entering the new season with expectations rising again?
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel it too much. I think our players might, and not that our players are feeling it like in a negative way, but they want to do more. And so just how they are going about their day from day to day and how they're working at practice and what they're doing, I think it's a real positive sign. What we really talked about yesterday is just, you know, we got to get to the point where our attitude, because we have good attitudes, but we have to have the attitude, kind of that championship mentality. And so attitude is everything. And what we have to get to the point where the really good teams, the ones that compete at the highest level, is that they have poise and they're just not affected by situations, and being able to play through some of that adversity, be able to kind of do some of those things that you need to as the season goes, that is so key. And so I do think we're getting better at that right now, and we'll see when we tip off next week where we're at as a program.
So you have three starters back from last year's team, Ryland Carton, James Blackwell, and Carter Brown, who've all played, you know, big roles now entering the third season this year. year. So does it feel like, as you've seen in the first couple of weeks of practice, that those kids have each taken maybe another step forward as they enter, you know, basically year three for them at the varsity level?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rylan, I think, is just a terrific young man, terrific player for us. And I think he's going to be a different player that you guys have, that the fans will see. I mean, last year, as a sophomore, he was still kind of developing as a player. As a junior, we kind of played him inside a lot. We had a little bit more shooting, and now we'll bounce him around. And he's a very, very skilled player. James has been really impressive with us. I mean, really starting to buy into winning our sprints. He is leading by with his voice and communication as well, and really kind of starting to take that ownership. And with James Blackwell, we all know his confidence, and he is playing that practice right now with tremendous confidence, which is great to see. And then Carter Brown, you know, he gets a lot of the attention with what he can do on the football field and whatnot, but man, he's just a terrific kid. He's one of those kids that just rocks steady, doesn't get really, like I said, affected, and he is starting to show, and they really just complement each other really, really well too. So really excited to see what those three can do for us this year, along with our other guys as well.
So speaking about kind of the rest of your rotation, you'll project to be out there this year. I know last season it was 8 seniors that graduated, 4 that played a ton of minutes throughout the season. So when you look at, you know, spots on your roster, like 4 through 7 maybe or so, who are some of the kids you expect to get production out of that you'll need to maybe make a run this year?
Yeah, I mean, like, you hit it on the head the first part. It's like 8 seniors graduating. I mean, those are great kids, quality kids, really good basketball players that really kind of set the path for us. And now, you know, how do we fill that void? And so that's going to be one of the big questions that we've been kind of working through practice here. But we have guys that have experience with our style of play. Guys got minutes last year, maybe not a ton of minutes, but they got minutes. So, you know, Brody Bender, he's going to be ready to go for us this year. He does a lot of really nice things. And Caden Kelly, no, he did some really nice things early in the year for us and then kind of fell out of the rotation, but we fully expect him to be able to compete at the highest level for us. And then Ryder Verondo is kind of in that sophomore junior mode last year, but you know, he is a terrific player, and everyone talks about his size. You know, he's, you know, 5'9", whatever he may be, but I tell him it doesn't matter how tall you are, man. Basketball players are basketball players, and that kid is a basketball player. We were fortunate enough to pick up a transfer from Muscatine, Aiden Bajeski. Man, that kid's a hard worker, does what he needs to. We're really excited for him. He'll complement Brody Bender inside. And then we got a lot of other guys that are just really competing out there as well. So we have Jackson Jones, who has a strong football season. You know, he's a three-sport athlete for us. He comes in every day, works hard. Emery Partlow, another three-sport athlete, comes in, works hard, can really get after the ball and guard the ball well. Alex Spangler, a senior for us. I mean, he's one of these kids that you can count on to show up every day. And so we're still kind of working some things. And then we got some other juniors that are getting their first varsity experience as well, like Quinn O'Donnell and Jeremiah Wise. But, you know, we like what we have with the top 12. We have a couple of sophomores that we might be able to sprinkle in there as too. But I do think even though you graduate 8, we feel confident that if we continue to work and develop the right habits and the right mentality, that we can still compete with the best teams around.
Well, I remember talking with you throughout the year last year. You kind of started to see your non-conference schedule last year pick up, where you said you felt like you were at a point in the program where it was worth it to play some of those schools. And this year, again, it looks like kind of the same thing, non-conference games with Sterling and Dixon and a game with West Hancock, I think, in January, among some other tests. I know you're playing at that Moline shootout. Hopefully you get actually playing it this year. I know it got snowed out last year. So something, again, that's kind of by design, trying to test yourself in the non-conference.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we can do, is you want to try to prepare for that regional atmosphere, that the regional championship games. And so what can we do to do that? And I mean, challenging ourselves is going to be the only way. So we're hitting the road. We're going to Oregon. There's a lot of quality teams up there. I think there's some teams that are getting some state recognition that if we play well enough, we might get to play against. But then, yeah, you know, the West Hancocks, going to Sterling, a return game against Dixon, you know, all those games are going to be challenges for us. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, what do you want to be? Do you want to win 24, 25 games and lose in the first round of regionals, or get beat in the regional championship? Or do you really want to test yourself? And maybe you don't win as many games in the regular season, but you're prepared for that moment to win championships in the postseason. And that is our mentality. That's where our kids' mentality is. they're not going to – last year I think we kind of threw them into it. They didn't know what to expect. I do believe that this year that they're going to kind of relish those opportunities to try to prove themselves.
All right, and then when you look down the line at the schedule too, I know coming up next month you're hosting your holiday tournament again, the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic, second annual one. I know last year was such a great – you know, a thing just for the program to be able to host. And I think that the field is a little bigger this year, and I think even maybe a little better with some of the teams you got coming. So do you like how that has shaken out as you enter the second season of getting to host a holiday tournament?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing is, like, when you start those tournaments is just getting it going, right? And so, you know, last year wasn't necessarily great. I think the turnout was great, you know, what we did, but, you know, we only had six teams. We had a JV team from UT in there to fill out the lineup. But now what you look at is that we have eight teams here. We got Princeton coming in, East Dubuque, Anawan, the Math Academy of Science. I'm mixing that up from Aurora, that they're coming as well. Plus Byron's coming back, and then Allman and Geneseo. So just really quality field, and it's going to create some really competitive basketball. Have eight fresh soft teams as well. And so, one, you know, Sherrard has great facilities. We want to showcase that. We have a great community. We got great fans. We want to be able to showcase that. But now we're also going to have a really, really strong basketball culture here in terms of, hey, winter basketball. I know you want to go to Macomb, maybe Erie, but Sherrard might be a location you want to check out as well.
And when you look at the schedule too, I think the conference should be very competitive this year. I think a lot of teams that have a lot returning. So just your outlook on a little bit of a new look Track West with Mercer County joining the six teams, or I should say the five other teams you'll see in the 16 league. I mean, what do you expect out of the conference this year?
Yeah, it's going to be a battle. I mean, Mercer County coming in, I love that, you know, and I'm happy to see Morrison go. I hate going to Morrison. I hate that gym. Nothing against Morrison people, but I don't know if you guys reach out that far, but that gym's always kind of one of those tricky places to play. But, you know, a lot of good, their coach does a nice job and things like that. But bringing Mercer County in, you know, you really got that kind of vibe last year when we went to Mercer County and played, that small community basketball. I don't know if we played on a Tuesday or a Friday, but man, the place was packed. It was loud. It was hot. And so bringing them back into the fold is just going to make our conference better. And as you said, it does seem like there's quite a bit of balance within the conference. I mean, Rockridge is obviously the team to beat, and it's rightfully so. They've done it for so many years, and they got a good coaching staff and a lot of quality players over there. But, you know, I wouldn't sleep on Orion. I know they have some really talented players. Monmouth Roseville, you know, with Coach Grant coming back, he's going to get them playing extremely hard. And then Coach Kelly, he's just done a tremendous job at Riverdale in his tenure there. You know, he has his system. He has his kids believing. There's a lot of excitement over there. So that the non-conference stuff is going to test us for sure, but then even in our conference, there's not going to be no easy nights. And so that's going to make great basketball, great coverage for everybody.
And just last thing, when you look down the line, it's mid-November when we're talking with you, and I know you want to still be playing late February, early March, and we talked about it with you a lot last year, is just getting over kind of that final hurdle, you know, winning the big game. So this year, I remember when we talked post-game after the regional championship last year, you said we're going to reevaluate what it's going to take for us to get to that next level. So for you, it's probably hard to answer in November, but how can Sherrard take that next step this year and finally kind of get over the hump?
I was hoping you were going to tell me how to do that, Ty. So you don't know when it's going to happen, right? So you have to believe in what you're doing. And, you know, how that is that every day you come in, you work hard, you do the things you need to, you kind of start to build that championship culture, and that some of it's going to be luck. You have to have the breaks. You're going to have to get the right draw in regionals. I mean, you're going to have to avoid a bad quarter or a bad half, which hit us real, you know, in the regional championship game last year. And then the players have to have that mentality. And, you know, the mentality is, you know, you're going to compete. You're not going to worry about necessarily the outcome, but you're going to worry more about how do you get to that outcome. And now being with these guys, hopefully, right? Now with these guys, we've been together for 4 years, my seniors, one as assistant, three as the head coach, that they believe in me, I feel. I definitely believe in them. And so all those things add up. Some of it's just a matter of circumstance. You know, the ball's got to roll your way. You got to get the calls in the right time, all that. But we are going to keep knocking on that door until it goes in, or, you know, maybe we got to just kick the door in, whatever you want to say. But there is no silver bullet. I wish I had the answer. When you do have the answer though, Ty, and then maybe Jim will give it to you, you know, please share it with me though.
Maybe you need to ask him. So, all right, that's Sherrard boys basketball coach Alex Johnson joining us. Tigers open the 2024-25 season in Oregon against Milledgeville on Wednesday. Coach, looking forward to covering the Tigers again in 2024-25.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Ty, and we look forward to being able to chat here more often during the basketball season.
All right, I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I buy him here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service. Welcome back to our preseason preview of boys basketball on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Talking with Mercer County boys basketball coach Tim Seedam now. And I know it feels like the off season, it can seem like it goes really fast. So just how does it feel to be back in the gym getting ready to tip off another season?
Well, for us, like at Mercer County, we look at that first day of practice. Like, I joke with the kids at our parent meeting the week before practice starts. So that's my, like, New Year's Eve, Christmas Day type thing getting into the gym. So it's a ton of fun when we get our guys back in the gym for the first time. Go through practice, but now we're like, you know, a couple weeks in, and I think we're ready to kind of test ourselves and see where we're at. We have guys working in the gym pretty hard and kind of ready to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we'll talk about, you know, in this conversation previewing the season, kind of throughout the year, will be the theme is kind of like the growth you'll have with the super young roster you have, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. But just how have things looked so far, you know, from year to year now as you kind of have a whole new look group?
That is a loaded question and probably like an half hour segment we could go through. But like when you're talking year to year, when we look at our program, what we've done the last 2 years were 20 plus wins. That's because we have incredible athletes and guys in the gym. To where I look 2 years ago, the class we just graduated with, like a Jude Hoffman and a William Fredrickson, their junior year, they came off the bench and were our sixth and seventh man, to where they stepped into massive roles last year as seniors. And obviously their body of work last year with those seven seniors speaks for itself. Now with that same concept, like Carson Bolins as a junior last year played in that same role, and now he's stepping into that starting lineup. And I would tell you he was one of our starters last year as our sixth man. And then Holden DeMuth is a guy that handled the basketball for us as a point guard last year and started majority of those games last year. So we have a pretty good experience from them guys coming back and knowing what we're doing. Just other bright spots and things to kind of look at. Like, we have guys that we transitioned from sophomore basketball and they were on our roster last year and in a lot of our practices, and those guys have been able to hit the ground running. So like a JJ Smock, a Lincoln Scott in what he's shown this start of the year has been pretty impressive. And then Lucas Marston, all those guys have been a part of our stuff. And then Brady McPeak had a great sophomore or a freshman year on the sophomore team, but he was on our varsity roster and in a lot of our practices. So they know what we're doing. But we're at that next tier, though, where we had like Peyton 30-acre, Grady Norton, and Toby Finley are guys that are going to get a lot of reps and time this year playing both, or they're going to have to play on the sophomore team, but they're going to have to help us at the varsity level with our numbers.
You talked about there kind of your two main returners are DeMuth and Bolins, and like you touched on, a huge senior class graduating last year where it was, you know, seven kids, and I think 81.2% of the scoring from last year graduated. So I'm sure it'll be a process kind of finding where the new roles fit for everybody. So when you look at that, I mean, do you think you have much of an idea of that, or is it kind of going to be something that kind of plays itself out as you see kind of game-like results?
No, I think we see in practice guys standing out and doing some things, but, you know, first week of the season at Thanksgiving time when you get into those games, like, we're looking for guys to step up and show us what they have and what they can do, mainly playing defense and rebounding and then taking care of the basketball, knowing our stuff. And I think now that we're in an established program where this is year six, I think, where a lot of these kids have been running our base stuff for several years, I think they can jump in and help us out and be effective. But I don't know if I can pinpoint, hey, here's going to be our leading scorer. It's going to be a process, and it's going to be new. We'll kind of see where everything falls.
Yeah, and I think, too, like you just touched on there, year six for you leading the program. Numbers this year are great, I think around 30, maybe even a little more than 30. So just as you enter the 2024-25 season, are you happy with where the program is at? Because it really feels like you said, things have really been moving in the right direction.
I am, and I think we're kind of in a spot like, hey, reload with the next group of guys coming through, and our guys work hard, and I can't ask for any more than a coach. Our senior class with Carson, he's been in our program the whole way through, and I think he's going to be a bright spot for us for sure. And then we did have a senior step out for the first time this year as a new student in our district, is Trey Phillips, and I think he's a pretty good athlete, and I'm seriously impressed with his ability to jump in our practice and just kind of flow seamlessly through all of our drills and things. So no, I think we're in a good spot.
And it's a new look schedule this year, kind of from start to finish. We'll talk about the non-conference slate you have lined up this year in a moment, but I know it's a new conference with the Track West. So just a little bit about maybe if there's excitement getting to see those teams twice a year. Now you get the home and home series. So just kind of the outlook you have coming into the first season of the new conference.
Honestly, it's like a concept of just got to be flexible. It is going to be way different and new. And I am excited to have just the proximity. Like those games last year, we only got one game, and it was 10 miles down the road. Getting those two, I'm good with that. But some of the flexibility, like I know we have a couple halls where we get to go to West Hancock and go, head down to Macomb on back-to-back nights. Like we get to go to Morrison and Fulton. Like we've seen those teams in the past, but it's just different on Tuesday, Wednesday night, where a lot of those conference games now, those easy travels are on the Friday. But no, the whole schedule is completely different. So we'll make tweaks and stuff along the way, but I'm kind of excited to see how it plays out.
And then just kind of a little bit maybe of an outlook on what you expect out of some of the teams in the league, because I think this year, especially in the Track West, it looks like everybody should be pretty solid. I think there should be some pretty competitive games kind of throughout the year. So is that what you're kind of expecting too?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams lost a lot of seniors and really quality top-end players. But there's just a lot of new guys stepping in that can do the same job and do the work. And it's kind of where we got to figure every team out fresh and new on their skill sets of their top guys. I know Sherrard has a lot coming back and Rock Ridge has a lot coming back. I know Riverdale has a lot of quality guys and a lot of young guys, and I think they're a program on the uptick. And Monmouth-Roseville, with Chuck Grant coming back, you always know they're going to be prepped and ready to go at a high level. And I think Orion might have one of the top players in the whole area. So, like, I think the Track is really, really good this year.
And one of the things I'm excited about in, like, kind of your non-conference schedule that's new is the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament. You'll make your debut in that field. And I think that's such a well-run and just kind of fun tournament. You get to play on the college floor. It's kind of some weird hours you play at. It's really holiday basketball at its best, I think. So is that something you're looking forward to next month, getting to play in that tournament?
No, I think that's a huge jump and move for us. I loved the Erie Holiday Tournament when we were there, but Macomb was one that even when we were playing in Erie, I watched, and I would watch those games online. And I think it's a cool setup. I think the website that they have, and I think they really do that tournament nicely. So, no, that'll be just a new experience, kind of a cool thing for our kids.
All right, and you open the season at the 10-32 tip-off classic and Orion four games over the next week. And as we've touched on, obviously a really young group you have. So what are you hoping to get out of the first week at Orion as you tip off the new season?
Well, we're preaching our defensive concept, so I'm wanting to see our guys come out and execute the defensive end, see how many one and dones we can get. As far as wins and losses, like, we're not putting a lot of stock into that. We're coming out and going to compete at our best level, and if we're doing that every possession, like, I think good things are going to happen for us.
Golden Eagles open the season Monday night against Fulton over in Orion. That's Golden Eagles head coach Tim Seedam joining us. Coach, appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and we'll see you Monday night over in Orion.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ty.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
And this is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Our 2024-25 high school boys basketball preview rolls on. We're talking with Rockridge head coach Jordan Harrison, the year number two at Rockridge. Just how does it feel, you know, tipping off another season, year number two with Rockridge?
Really good. It feels like kind of like more of a normality this year. Less noise, less expectations. So gives us a little bit more room to just keep our head down, focus up, and get the work in.
Well, I know we talked with you coming into the year last year. You've, of course, have coached at a lot of different levels. Last year, though, was the first time as a varsity coach at the high school level. So what was maybe the biggest thing you learned or your biggest takeaway from last season coming into this year as, you know, a coach leading a high school program?
Yeah, the buy-in from the community for the most part. I know coming from college and stuff like that, you got a lot of boosters and alumni that follow the school like that. But even when I would go to like the Milan Hy-Vee or somewhere out in Andalusia for a bite to eat or like pop my head in like a Luby's or a Casey's Pizza, like the buy-in from the community, I mean, you feel it just as much. The basketball game itself necessarily didn't change. It's still basketball, but like it felt like a tiny college. You know what I'm saying?
So the personnel you have this year, I think, you know, the definite top three, we know Landon Wheatley, Caleb Cunico, and Landon Bull have all played in a lot of big games for Rockridge and come through in them all as well. So when you have three players like that, who I know you're very familiar with both at Rockridge and then on the AAU circuit as well, I mean, how good of a feeling is that having three players of that caliber entering a senior season?
Well, it just makes you feel safe. Like, I feel like any game we play this year, we're going to be in it. Like, every game is going to be competitive. I don't feel like we got a really brutal schedule this year, intentionally brutal schedule. But I feel like every game on our schedule is super winnable, whether it's a big school, whether it's a small school, whether they got a couple all-staters, whatever. Like, I know what those dudes bring. We got a bunch of gamers. So it just makes me feel really safe, really comfortable. But I also know I got to keep pushing those guys, like, they're never too good to get better. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of the motto that they've took on themselves, carried over from football. But they understand that they got to work hard and stuff like that to get to where they want to be this year. So we want to make the most out of it.
Yeah, Balen Lehmans was a kid last year who's now back for his senior season that I thought really came on nicely, had a great postseason, I thought, for you in his senior year now. So I know you're looking, you know, at spots 4, 5, 6, 7 to see who can step up. I mean, I'm sure that's a kid that you're expecting and hoping to get a lot out of this year.
Yeah, yeah. So Balen and the other boys that we got, so Chase and Wayne and even Luke McKay, like, those dudes are our X factors. Those guys are our conductors, energy conductors. We look for them to bring a ton of energy, and then conduct a bunch of synergy. So get guys to bring their energy level up to where theirs are, though. But Balen's just one of those hard-nosed kids, man. I mean, you'll ask him to do whatever, he's gonna go do it at his best capable ability. And he's kind of nice to have because that Swiss Army knife where he can play kind of 2-4, maybe even 2-5. Sometimes he'll post up, he'll hit threes, he'll handle the ball if you ask him to. He's comfortable in the pick and roll. You can run plays through him. He can play off ball and cut you and screen you as well. So he's super valuable to us.
So yeah, tell us a little bit more about the rest of the kids you project to be in rotation. You mentioned them there, Chase Wheatley, Landon's little brother, of course, Wade Richard, and then Luke McKay. So just a little bit about, you know, the newcomers, the varsity level for you that, you know, in order to make a run, you're going to need production out of them.
Well, I thought we could have played Wade a little bit last year at the varsity level with his size and his skill, but I think it was best that we just hide him and let him develop for real down there at the JV level a little bit. But Wade's a kid that's going to be able to come in the game. He should be able to hit 2 or 3 open threes every night for us. He should be a board monster at 6'7". He's athletic. He's agile. He's long. He'll be able to push the ball on the break too off of the board, which is huge for us. But he's something that we didn't have last year at that size, somebody that can space the floor like that and keep bigs out from the rim. So hopefully we see less double teams on Landon Bull. Hopefully he starts the year off hot. And then Chase Wheatley, just your junkyard bulldog. He'll come in, high IQ player on offense. Won't score it a ton, but he'll give you everything you got on defense. He'll pressure the ball, get some extra possessions for us off turnovers. And then Luke McKay is a guy that we can throw in there and spot minutes, and he might be the best shooter in our program, and guys haven't even seen him yet. So we got depth, just a little bit enough to do what we need to do, but it'll be a lot of heavy lifting on those seniors that we got.
So you mentioned earlier in our conversation another intentionally challenging schedule that you've put together, and that feels like it's just been one of those staples of the Rockridge basketball program and this great run of success that the program has seen. And I was looking, it looks like it might be maybe the most challenging schedule this program's ever played. I know you see Moline, Rocky, UT on there, Bloomington Central Catholic. I think you play Peoria Notre Dame at a shootout too, who you saw in the postseason last year among some other really good teams. Coach Harris, that's something that in order to make a run in the postseason, you know, you always say you want to test yourself in the regular season. So looking at the schedule you have in front of you, anything specifically stick out in terms of excitement level of potential matchups?
No, I mean, I'm just challenging, accepting the challenge every game. I mean, that's what I want. I never want a blowout. Like, if we blow a team out, that's cool. But we got stuff we want to work on. We got stuff we need to get better at. And if we lose by 20, all right, that's cool. And we'll just get back in the gym the next day and have the best practice of the year. So I just want to just keep it competitive. I want to keep it fresh. I want to keep it highly energized. I want the community back us in all those games. So the main reason why we want competitive games too is just so our boys just always stay on their toes, right? Like, and plus these are big games with schools that are familiar with us. So it's not like we're just playing it. We're just going into uncharted waters, right? We're going into games where we know we're having a little target on our back. There's a little turmoil behind it. Like, we haven't beat Moline yet, right? We beat Rocky a couple years ago. We want them again. UT with Toby and Andy Say over there. So there's a little backstory behind them all. Bloomington Central Catholic with the game a couple years ago with Toby and all those dudes. So there's backstory behind a little bit of all those games that we got on there. And it's just going to be really fun. It's going to be really fun.
I think that's kind of a good segue into what I want to talk with you about next is, like you said, you know, with the success the program has had, you've been able to kind of build these rivalries statewide with schools in, you know, local bigger schools like you talked about there with Moline and Rocky. But on the flip side of it, when you talk about the conference schedule, I know no one really has been able to get over the hump that is Rockridge, and you talk about, you know, the local schools you play in the conference. So I know you'll have a target on your back in those games again. And I think to me, it looks like a league that should be pretty competitive in 2024-25. So just a little bit about your, you know, preseason outlook on the opponents you'll have in the conference this year.
I'm excited about the track. I really am. I think Sherrard is going to be good this year. I think Mount Rose is going to be really good. They got a Hall of Fame coach back. Like, anytime you get a guy like that back who's super familiar with the state and basketball itself, I mean, like, he's going to throw some stuff at you. I think Orion is going to be really good. They got a really good freshman class over there that's going to be good for years to come. But I'm excited about the track, man. Like, I know last year we got the best of people, but I know people are aiming for us, and we just got to be on our A game every night. Otherwise, you end up in a dogfight. I know Mirko's super thirsty to play us as well. New to the conference, they kind of want to put their foot in, get their feet a little wet in the conference, stuff like that. So I don't think our conference is bad by any means. I just think we've just been fortunate enough to our boys just have had a competitive advantage the last couple of years as far as how they prepare and how they get ready for their games in the track. Like, they take pride in those games. They don't want to lose. So.
All right, and just as we wrap up with you, as you look, you know, kind of an outlook on the season for you, I think a group that with the talent you have back is projected to be a really strong team. So when you look at just kind of the expectations you have for this team from, you know, November to February and hopefully into March, I mean, what are they for you?
Deep run every single time. I want to get back to a sectional and beyond. I feel like last year we ended a little bit short. Teams get hot and stuff happens, but we got to just as good enough roster on paper and just from what I'm seeing from practice to make sure that we can get back to where we normally are, to where we know we can be.
All right, that's Rock Ridge Boys basketball coach Jordan Harris joining us on WRMJ. Rockets open the season this next week in Rock Island with four games. Coach Harris, appreciate you talking with us, sir, and I look forward to covering you and the Rockets again this year.
No problem. Let's do it.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are approaching at 6140 Run in Galesburg. And on those 2 days, enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Yes, you heard right. All the gear, all the essentials, everything you need is on sale. 20% off on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's a great time to grab gifts or treat yourself while supporting local business. Remember, this offer is only available Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. So mark your calendars and don't miss out on 20% off savings at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. We wind down our basketball preview show, and of course we'll have Illini football pregame joined in progress here momentarily. 11 o'clock kickoff from Piscataway, New Jersey with Rutgers. And then we have, you said Illini basketball today. Who the Illini play
they
today?
They play Maryland Eastern Shore.
All right.
The way that they're doing that, by the way, is they're just rolling from the football coverage into the men's basketball coverage. So like, we're going to have like a seven hour block of Fighting Illini Sports Network coverage coming up.
And do Big Ten games, are they played in December now in basketball or not?
I don't know their schedule off the top of my head though.
All right. So we have a triple header on Monday of boys basketball starting in the 5 o'clock hour over at the Orion 10 and 32 tip off classic. And then coverage, for the most part next week from Orion. And then we'll have some Rock Ridge coverage from, the Rock Island tournament.
As of now, Saturday, yeah. Okay. But again, that could all change. Everything could change.
To be announced, right, as they correct. Say. All right. Well, it's too bad. I thought if it wasn't a muddy track, maybe we probably would be broadcasting a game today and maybe Friday.
That would have been
Friday.
Fun. That
then we'd have
fun.
All kinds of craziness, next week. So how do you want to end this?
All right, we did this last week with the girls, so we need to give our boys basketball conference championship picks in the track west. So you are gonna go first. Do you have one?
I'm gonna go co-champs. They'll split.
Who are you talking about?
I'm going Rock Ridge and Sherrard sharing the title.
I'm upset you do that because I'm saying the same thing.
Come on!
I'm saying they're both gonna go 9-1 and they're gonna split with each other. And
who's gonna win the first game though?
I don't know. I don't care. Either they're going to each win one. Maybe they'll both
then,
win.
So then the rubber game of a three-game match will be at the sectional – would probably be at the sectional title because they'd be a top two seed. Well, we don't know. Well, here's the other thing you said. Can we announce it? Sherrard hosting this?
I think people know it. So
well, that's awesome. Yeah. Finally, man, yeah. We've made some terrible lengthy trips for sectional basketball with the
And
last
Mirko
five
has
years.
A boys basketball regional,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's
so.
Awesome. That place is a perfect place for a regional. I love
it. I agree. At Aledo, yeah.
And the year the year Rock Ridge, so it would have been Gentry Whiteman was a senior, Carson Frakes was a senior, and that's the last year Allman had a really good boys basketball team. And that atmosphere that night between Rock Ridge and Allman was lights out bananas at that place.
So, I'm excited. The postseason obviously is a long way away, but it seems to get here pretty quickly. But the basketball season is a long time, and it's a long and I would say very fun and exciting in 3 months. I always am sad when it gets over. Yeah, it's always a fun time.
So you said December, what is it, the Friday? December
6th.
So that's 2 weeks from last night, right? 3 weeks from last night.
I think two.
Jeez, that's
or
amazing.
Three. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But yeah, it's pretty soon. That's a pretty big like early season game, both like in the conference, but around the state too.
It's 2 weeks from last night, so it's a week from next Friday. So wow, what a way to start the conference season, to say the least. So that there you have it with conference.
But then Mercer County Orion, they play Tuesday, December 2nd. So they're like the first or third. I think it's the third actually is the date. So they're like the first. They're the only conference game of the night that night to tip off the whole conference season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So.
All right. Well, we'll get to Illini football here, pregame from New Jersey with Rutgers, and the Illini basketball up later today.
Yep. Should be a – hopefully they can get win today and win again next week. And, yeah, because that loss they had a few weeks ago to Minnesota? Was it Minnesota they lost to, right?
Yeah, PJ Fleck.
Yeah, because they beat Michigan State. That's right. Yeah, that was frustrating.
And then when I was coming back from the Roval Williamsfield tournament the night the Eagles played Roval Williamsfield, I was listening to the Illini broadcasting basketball against Alabama, and I'm like, how many layups is Alabama going to shoot?
Points are they
going to
give up?
Yeah. Gosh, dang, man. And then that's the transfer portal. I'm like, so that you were talking about last night, you know, with the confusion of all the kids with the same names playing. When I was just like listening to the broadcast on the radio, I'm like, I don't know who any of these guys are that are playing on these specific teams, because it's just other than Gibbs Lawhorn. I'm like, I remember him from last year.
He's the only returner, which is so weird about, because that's the thing about college sports, it's so different now, is that, from last year, and they were great last year, but to have one guy back in a college roster is just crazy. But that's like almost the norm nowadays, where I'm sure next year a lot of those guys will transfer or whatever, and it's just, it's really weird. It's got to be very difficult to... I don't even know how you keep it straight if you're like a coach. Like, how do you even? That's got to be.
Well, that's why every coach that retires or resigns now, they say the same thing.
Right.
Sick of the transfer portal. Right. Well, it's here to stay. The genie's out of the bottle.
Right. Unless you get all the good players, though. Then so whatever. Anyway.
All right. So again, high school basketball coverage starting Monday from the Orient 10-32 tip-off classic for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor on the WMJ Sports Line on the Saturday morning.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.